With an update of the trade in Chicago from the CME Group, where nearby July corn is a penny and a quarter higher at 444. December at 446 at a quarter, now up 2 3/4, and beans are trading the nearby July at 1427. They're down a dime. November contract up 14 3/4 at $12.29 and a half. The meal is down 30 cents. The oil is down 38 cents. Live cattle futures in the August are down 62 and a half at 152. 12 and a half. The feeders in the August at 214. 42 and a half are down 70, and the lean hogs are nickel higher at $129.90 in the July contract. The soft red winter wheat at 584 and a quarter, that's up 2 cents, and the hard red at $7.29 is currently 8 cents higher for the morning.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
On the phone line this morning with us, Mike Zuzulo, as usual, from Atchison, Kansas, and Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Todd.
And we have a quarterly hogs and pigs report that's due out this afternoon. What are the expectations?
I think the biggest expectations are what the market's probably watching is what the kept for breeding number is. The big thing also will be the weight breakdown. There's a pretty big number to look at, the 120 to 179-pound group. That's a range of estimates, 92.3 to 96.7%, an average of 95%. This number will probably be the best indicator as to how we're dealing with, as we go into the middle part of the summer, the PED virus and how much our herd has recovered. We'll also probably, with that kept for breeding number being fairly wide between 101 and 102.5, probably try and get a little bit more deep analytical understanding of what producers are doing right now. There's kind of an argument going on right now in the trade that we have prices that would allow us to expand if we're hog producers, certainly on the fat hog price and also on the corn price, but we're also adding so much weight that do we really have room unless we're physically expanding? How do we add to our gilts and hold back those gilts if we want to go after that? And so I think this report will help us understand whether we're really adding to, and that would be very important given that the cold storage reports earlier this week showed quite a bit of decline in the beef cold storage numbers. So beef becomes less and less a competitor as we move forward and after the July 4th holiday.
Some of those numbers, as they relate at least to the number of hogs that are going to market, will set the tone, expectations that is, for the 11 a.m. grain stocks report on Monday morning, where USDA will have a feed, will not have a feed and residual number, but will have stocks on hand, and how much really is left to be used, and more importantly, what has already been used in this last quarter. So we'll be watching those numbers too.
Yeah, you can interpolate a lot, I think, from the hogs and pigs report number, both for the grain stocks Monday, as you say, and then the July supply demand. The key number for the corn, you know, from the stock standpoint is that we're looking at about 1 billion bushels more as an average trade guess than last year. That's about 35% more than last year, and that would be the biggest number in about 4 years, Todd. And so this is where the trade is probably going to look at the grain stocks report for corn as a real key indicator as to whether they want to take the keep the July, which is now back to a carrying charge, keep that at a carrying charge or a discount to the December. This is the first time this year that we've seen the July slip below the December, and that just happened, I think, a day or two ago. And on a closing basis, it was just yesterday. So this will probably dictate whether the July can rear its head back up and get back to a premium or an inversion to the December. And I think that will make quite a bit of difference to the trade in terms of trade psychology and how the funds manage their spreads.
It'll be whether the decision really be whether if this is a demand-led marketplace or not, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think also one of the new things brewing out there is the vomitoxin issue and the soft red wheat,
right,
and whether we've got a feed issue where you're going to see corn working into the feed channel. It would not surprise me at all to see the September soft red wheat bought and the September corn sold if we saw this vomitoxin issue get worse and worse and worse, and the feed channels would start to see more of the wheat come in.
Right, right. So you said you made that the opposite direction to begin with, at least the first time around. So it's a matter of the vomitoxin is going to cause the soft red winter wheat to be put into the feed supply, correct?
Into the corn feed supply.
Yeah,
exactly.
Into the corn feed supply.
May want to go ahead and say, okay, let's buy soft red wheat, because soft red wheat at the Board of Trade, the specs there are a high quality wheat. And so you would think maybe the funds would be looking at the idea of, let's buy soft red wheat in the September and sell corn in the September. You're exactly right.
Yeah, so you're going to buy the soft red because if essentially the supply of soft red, while it might be fairly large, supply that would meet the specs would be getting smaller by the day as rain continues to fall and things continue to get worse in wheat country.
Yeah, and it's nothing to really jump off the diving board yet, I don't think, Todd, because what I'm talking to clients about right now, and it seems to still be the case, is that the earliest wheat is going to be the worst because it probably got done the fastest because it didn't get as much fungicide put on it. And so many clients I've talked to this week and last have said they've got two, maybe even three applications of fungicide on their soft red wheat, and they're not looking at a significant issue, the fusarium. So I think this first 20 to 30% of harvest may be the worst as far as the blight, and then hopefully we'll work out of it and keep the quality higher.
It'd be interesting to watch. I suppose if the rain continues to fall in southern parts into Missouri and the southern part of Illinois and southern Indiana, which is where the bulk of this is raised, it'll be fun to watch and see how it turns out, I suppose.
Yeah, maybe not so fun for those that are taking, you know, $2 and $3 hits, but yeah, fun to watch from a trade standpoint.
Yeah, and on the second side of that, it also has an impact, I suppose, if the rains are falling, on whether we end up with very many in those areas second crop soybean acres.
Yeah, this is a big thing, and this goes into the acreage report, and you know, let's be frank, I think that there's a lot of discussion out there right now after this past week's crop conditions for beans that we are not running a record crop as far as good to excellent conditions, as the government says. That's what clients are telling me in the heart of the bean country, and they're saying, I've got one of the better crops in the last 5 or 7 years in most cases, but if you're in a flooded area, it's one of the worst crops in 10 years. And so I think this becomes a bigger issue based upon what the stocks tells us and then what the USDA gives us for acreage. And, going to the acreage report, I was very struck by the survey I put out that producers since March were able to get almost all of their intended acres planted, and they had very little weather problems, and quite a few of those producers probably went a little bit harder on corn. So I'm kind of an outlier out there on the survey. I've got the biggest corn acres and the smallest bean acres at this point, given the idea that the since March anyway, the farmer was able to put extra corn in and not chase the beans due to price or whatever, or due to weather conditions, that they actually went ahead and got their rotation in. And yes, they rotated heavier to beans, but that was probably covered in the March report anyway.
I take it in your client survey you didn't see a lot of disparity between the geographic areas of the Corn Belt, that everybody got in what they expected?
For the most part, the planted acres almost got all, intended planted acres almost all got in. There were replant issues in Ohio, Kentucky, and Tennessee, and then obviously I don't have a lot of clients in Minnesota, and so I use the precip maps for the last 2 months to kind of derive where that is. So that's probably the biggest black hole out there from my analysis and from the survey, is that did the northern, northwestern Corn Belt see anything like last year? And I going back and looking at last year and the record low temperatures we had in April and even record low temperatures we had in May, I don't think we had as bad a time.
Hey, thanks so much, and we'll talk with you again this afternoon.
Sounds good, sir.
Yep, Mike Zuzalo is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He is in Atchison, Kansas.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
In Chicago at this hour, a quick look at the numbers. Futures in the corn pit are about a half to a penny and a half to as much as 2 1/4 higher for the day. Soybeans are down 9 cents in the nearby, 14 cents in the deferred. Bean meal futures are 39 cents lower. Bean oil down about 39 as well. Live cattle futures are off 50 cents. The feeders are down 35 to 75 cents. And hogs are up a nickel to down 17.5. The wheat futures are up anywhere between 3 and 7 in the soft red and about 8 cents in the hard red. The outside markets are trading the crude oil at $105.73 a barrel, down 13 cents, and the wholesale price of gasoline is a penny and 0.3 cents higher at $3.09.9 at this hour. Ethanol futures at $2.13.5 a gallon, up a penny and 3 cents, and the spread between those two is 96 4/10 cents wide. That's down just about, or rather up just about, eight hundredths of a cent at this hour. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. This is WILL AM 580.